B-Pod Studios.
When you have a basketball question going on right now in the NBA, as is, the man we talked to in Philadelphia is Mr. Keith Pompey. Keith from Inquirer.com, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up, Keith?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Had these little nuggets dropped yesterday regarding the NBA and a possible return to play. What I saw was earliest mid-July, they would start playing some games, training camp more or less starting a couple of weeks before that. What are you making of the noise of what could be going on in the magical world of Disney?
I'm kind of excited to get back to covering games.
You've watched all the Naked and Afraid episodes, you're done, and now you're covering no basketball.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Now I'm starting to get tired of Naked and Afraid. Now it's like I've watched so much of it now. It's to a point. I mean, let me just fast forward to the end to see if they last or not.
There you go.
So, but yeah, I'm excited about basketball coming back. And you know, and it's one of those things. I think, like, the timeline, like, we all kind of figured that is, you know, best case scenario, it would be July. You know, like a training camp in June, and then they get out there in July and play. Now it just seems like the question is, are they going to go regular season, like finish out the regular season games? You know, there's thought that they may play 5 to 7 games and then go straight into the playoffs, or are they just going to go straight into the playoffs? So, you know, there's a lot of questions about that, but let's face it, we kind of figured they were going to come back because the money that they're losing, and they want to get this, what is it, $900 million for the playoff, like the TV revenue they would get for the postseason.
Right.
So they weren't trying to give that money back.
Keith Pompey joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. The sticking point for me, if I'm a player, and this came out last week and it was what raised my eyebrows, is that the NBA will not shut down if a player tests positive. Now, it might have been naive of me to think anything otherwise a few weeks ago. But when you see that as a player, is that the number one sticking point here? The fact that we shut down because some people tested positive, and now we're going to say we're going to keep going? How does that make sense?
Yeah, it's crazy. But see, at the one time, I guess the reason why they shut down initially is because they didn't know who all had it. I'm under the assumption that, and we know it, what they're going to do is they're going to test everyone, and they're going to test everyone daily. So let's just say if one of my teammates get it, and then they're going to test me to see if I have it, and if I don't, you know, I'm going to keep playing. So I think that's where it is. But also, you know, it's also a sign of the times. Like, it's, hey, we can't do this again. We can't have a total shutdown again just because we're going to lose money. And when we're talking about losing money, it's not just the league, it's the players, because it's going to affect the salary cap moving forward. And so I think they're under the belief that, you know, most of them are like, you know what, I may have to do this just to help out with my future earnings. So is it a good situation? No. But at the same time, you know, when you're thinking about future earnings, is one of those things where, you know, I may have to go back to work.
Keith, besides the health of Ben Simmons and from what Brett said on the conference call, I guess a week or so ago, saying that he believes he'll be okay, do you see any decided advantage that the Sixers could get from this break in the season and then resuming, whether it be right into playoffs or into a little bit of a regular season?
You know, and I think we talked about this before. You know, I think that it is good for the Sixers to take, you know, time off, and for, you know, Brett Brown and his coaches to huddle up and to basically see, you know, go over the things that weren't working. You know, the main thing, question that I have is, you know, let's see how we're going to incorporate Al Horford more. How are we going to create situations where there's more space? How can I take advantage of his strengths, you know, instead of having him being Dario Saric 2.0? But the longer that this break extends, to me, it's like my main question is, no matter what Horford does, no matter what you bring in Ben Simmons, no matter who your rotation is, it's all about Joel Embiid coming back in shape. I mean, he has a history of getting out of shape when they take a week off or when he takes a week off for injuries, and always being out of shape when he reports to training camp. And now we're on 71, 72 days. you know, the biggest question mark for the Sixers is what type of shape is Joel Embiid in? Because let's face it, he is the key for them to winning the championship. The rest of the guys are bonuses. But in my opinion, you know, it's all about Joel Embiid and what type of shape he comes in when they start playing again.
Speaking with Keith Pompey, Inquirer.com, just to backtrack real quick, you've mentioned the money with the players. You mentioned the money with the network as far as league revenue goes for a playoffs. The players just started losing money last Friday, right? That was the first time their paychecks were cut significantly?
Yeah, well, the 15th? But what I'm talking about losing money is, you know, everything is kind of like tied to the salary cap, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm talking about moving forward. We can get it, they're losing money, but I'm talking about future earnings.
Okay.
You know, for instance, because, like, you know, like, let's say if you're a free agent this year, this upcoming year, you know, you're not going to make what you thought you were going to make at the beginning of the season. So is it in your best interest to come back and have these other guys, you guys come back and play just so you can salvage some stuff? Because if you don't play, the salary cap is going to just be, it's going to be worse than what the projection is. So that's what I'm talking about. Now, again, a lot of people aren't going to feel sorry for these guys for losing money. You know what I mean? We're talking, you know, millions of dollars that you still have left over as opposed to, you know, the people that work, you know, around the corner from you who are trying to get unemployment.
Right, exactly.
So I get that. But, you know, I think for them, you know, for their reality, you know, it's just one of those things where it just benefits everyone if they want to come back. Now, again, you know, and then you talk about a guy like LeBron, right? I'm just using him as an example. And I know people are saying, what are you talking about? He made over hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, with him, it's one of those things where, you know, when everything is shut down, we know he has a movie production. We know that he has all these endorsements, all this other stuff. Well, if people aren't going back to work, you know, the endorsement people are saying, well, why are we giving you all this money if no one's coming and buying our product? And then how is he going to get a movie out and do all these other things? Now, again, I know the average person doesn't care about that. I wish I had that problem.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we're just talking about how all these guys are impacted, you know, by not playing.
Yeah, almost $272 million LeBron James has made just off his basketball contracts, according to Basketball Reference. Keith, we've used this phrase really throughout the season with the Sixers, and I feel like it's a fallback phrase, but maybe it applies. Maybe you believe in it. The Sixers had their best basketball in front of them before the season was canceled. Did you believe that? Do you believe that? And do you think that they actually will be a contending team if a tournament does start up?
That's a crazy question because it always came, like you said, it was always something that they fell back on.
Right.
You know, they beat the Detroit Pistons at home. They had Joel Embiid. But the game before that, they lost to the worst team in the league in a blowout loss on the road. So it looked like a team that was, you know, still had a lot of question marks going down the stretch. Now, they did have an easy schedule and where you think they were going to pick up some, you know, some games, some victories in the standings. But to me, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they had to figure out a way to correct the spacing. They had to figure out a way to, like, you know, win on the road. I mean, there was a lot of unanswered questions. And I think that's why a lot of people think right now that this, you know, this shutdown in the league kind of helped them a little bit because it gave the coaching staff more time to evaluate what was going wrong. So, you know, it was one of those things when everyone was saying what they were saying and we're built for the playoffs. Well, the playoffs is a slower game. You need spacing. You need guys to make shots, you know. And if you were just going to say, okay, Ben Simmons is going to play power forward and we're going to run everything from the high post and Shake Milton, you pass the ball to Ben and you spot up at the three. Well, as long as you can think you can beat teams doing that, then they would be successful. But if Ben Simmons was going to be your point guard and you needed him to make shots, no, I don't think that the best basketball was ahead of him. And then let's face this, like, it would be one of those things where, yeah, that tactic with Shake Milton may work the first two games, But then all of a sudden, people are going to run people at him, and then you're going to have to come back and do something different. So to me, I didn't believe their best basketball was ahead of them. I think now that they have a better chance, just because, you know, Brown has more time to evaluate and go over things. And so we'll see what happens.
So, Keith, we've questioned often this year, and not you, but us, about, you know, schematically, what is Brett doing offensively, and you know, why are they doing what they're doing, and the bully ball never came about, and even though maybe they shouldn't have tried to play bully ball, they're the ones that said it. So my question to you is, so with this time off, should the fans have confidence that Brett's going to figure something different out with this group that he has?
I mean, I would hope so. You know, I mean, I would hope so. I mean, I think that, you know, the easy thing is, well, how do you incorporate, you know, Al Horford? That's the easy thing, but it's simple, man. I think that a lot of the Sixers' success is going to rely on if Ben Simmons is going to open up his shot, if Joel Embiid going to be in shape, you know, and then right now you have a guy, like I said, in Shake Milton. But then you have to figure out what you're going to do with these other guys on the bench. You know, so, you know, Brett, I hope that he changes for his sake. I hope that he figures out, you know, a way to make all this work. But, you know, the thing is, sometimes, you know, as a coach, you get used to what you're doing. And when you start thinking all the time that, hey, you know what? I had injuries. Hey, you know what? It wasn't my, you know, this guy did this and he made these mistakes. And then you start thinking to yourself, like, what we were doing was working. So let's not change it. We're healthy now. We're going to do this. No, he has to change his approach and he has to change everything. And again, I honestly believe if Joel Embiid's in shape and if, you know, they do whatever they can, you know, and he does tinker with some things, I think the Sixers can, you know, show us that they're good enough to be the team that we thought they were in the preseason. But if they don't make any changes and if Joel's not in shape, it's just going to be a lot of people sitting around and being disappointed again, you know?
Absolutely. Speaking with Keith Pompey on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Keith, what are the odds Brett Brown's actually returning after this, and how much will even a decent tournament impact his status for next NBA season?
Now, that's a tough call because, you know, initially I thought he wasn't going to be here at all, you know, initially, like, you know,
right.
before they had the thing. I think it could impact him, and also not just because from a coaching and not just from, like, if his team does well, but also you got to factor in how much money the Sixers are losing. And does that factor in? You know what I mean? Like, honestly.
Because you'd still have to pay him and pay another coach also. Is that what you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry for being that way. But, yeah, how much does that factor in? Like, because the next coach you get, let's face it, you're not trying to bring in a startup coach, like a guy like, hey, you want your first coaching job?
Yeah, right.
No, you're going to try to go out there and get like an elite level coach. And these guys want to get paid and they want to get paid more than Brett Brown's making that $5 million a year.
Wow.
So it's one of those things like, what are you going to do? But let's not kid ourselves. If he has a disastrous playoff or when they come back, nah, he's gone.
The money factor is going to be interesting if he does stick around simply because of a logistical financial situation, I guess. Like the perfect storm to keep Brett Brown would be, well, we don't have the same revenue and we don't want to pay two coaches. Good God.
Yeah, that'll go over well.
Yeah, I understand that theory and I hear what you're saying. Keith, always great catching up with you. If not Naked and Afraid, what's the next show?
I think I'm going to watch... Since I take Jordan's thing, I think I'm
going to
watch it over again.
There you go.
You were that enthralled by it.
I mean, you know what, man? We didn't have anything else on.
Oh, I'm with you.
So I looked at it. So now it's like, you know, I might look at it again just so I can, if there's something I felt like I missed. I don't know, dude. It's just, you know, I can't say it too loud because my wife is going to get mad, but I'm bored in the house. It's not just me, something to entertain.
No, I couldn't hear you. You broke up for a second. Say it louder, Keith. What'd you say? No.
You know Rob Langley.
You're the man. Keith, let me ask you this real quick on that subject, because I've heard some people say, oh, what did we really learn? Like, even if you knew every story, you didn't hear the story from the people who created the story, from the guys that lived it. Is there one thing in particular that really jumped out to you that raised your eyebrows?
How much Kobe is similar, how similar Kobe is to Jordan.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, like, you know, you heard stories about Kobe terrorizing his teammates.
Yeah.
And guys not really liking him, right?
Sure, in that regard, yeah.
Yeah, in that regard. And so that's what I'm talking about, like, off the court. It's kind of like he gave Kobe a manual to being great, you know? And then here's something else. It's like the best part about these series were afterwards, the day after, you know, his former teammates will go on, like, a radio station or go on TV, and they were very critical of Jordan, like a lot of them. Like, how they he called Horace Grant a snitch. Well, he's a snitch talking about the things the guys did before when Jordan was a rookie.
Traveling, you know, cocaine circus.
It's funny because, you know, you realize, like, I don't know if these guys really like Mike, you know, but then the one thing is, you know, you appreciate it because he said, I've never had them do anything that I didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. And he did win 6 titles. So he might have been an idiot, an a-hole. But this morning I was like online just scrolling and I saw 4 of his houses. You know what I mean? And they're all beautiful mansions. So he did something right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I hear you. Just last thing, Keith, the plan for the NBA, you think we just, if all goes right, coronavirus, assuming we do all right, mid to late July, we'll get some games?
I believe so, yeah. Right. Mid to late July, I believe so.
Good enough for me.
I think if it's mid to late July, I think we'll probably have some regular season games.
Yeah.
Right? And I think if it goes to August, if we have to wait until August, I think that they'll go, you know, straight to the playoffs. That's just my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, say hi to that lovely wife for us, because she's an angel. And, you know, we hope to talk to you again soon, my friend.
All right. I just hope she's not listening.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, Keith.
Keith Pompey. Keith Pompey, Inquirer.com. Keith will play.
He's probably.
I don't want my wife to hear me, but I'm bored.
How does she feel?
We'll send her the podcast.
Yeah, right. She might be equally as
bored.
She's
like, this guy's watching this Michael Jordan thing twice.
I've spent 20 hours of my life watching Jordan.
He's bored with Naked and Afraid. Literally the greatest show title of anything ever. And he wants to watch something called The Last Dance? What the hell's wrong with him?
By the way, finally catching up on Better Call Saul this season. Oh,
okay.
Oh, baby. That's a show for you.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Like, my wife and I, we didn't really talk about, like, we didn't really watch much TV together because I was working on a weird schedule and she had a regular 9-to-5. You know, things have changed in the last couple of years. We're watching a lot more TV, especially the last 2 months. I got to tell you, her TV taste, meh.
Really?
Unimpressed.
Yeah.
And something else I noticed about my wife that I don't like. I'll tell you this right now.
Oh. Oh, wow. You're going deep.
She's a multiple texter.
What do you mean?
When you text me, I text you back with my reaction. In a text message,
mm-hmm.
I don't send several reactions through several different text messages.
I don't get all my thoughts out at once sometimes.
That's what that little return button's for.
Yeah, I know.
But then I look at my phone, I got 84 text messages on a group text, and it's mostly her being like, oh, my God. That's one text message. It's not 3 text messages.
I'm one of those people. Are you really?
Animals.
Barbarians,
all
not like a. It's not like a conscious effort to do that. I start spouting off and I get all hopped up on sugar and I don't know.
Do you have more like ADD tendencies than I do?
Well, I have ADD, so yeah.
Okay, maybe you do. Maybe you do. Have you been tested? Have you done the testing?
Yeah, when I was younger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was on Ritalin when I was younger and Adderall, and then I just stopped.
My parents just gave me espresso. Like, that wasn't the best thing for me. No, like, no, that's one thing I never did that I should do is do the ADD test.
I mean, I'm kind of under
throw it.
I'm kind of under the assumption that like almost everybody has ADD to a degree.
It's but that's the thing though. Like,
how far along are you on that scale, I guess?
Like, some people are like, oh, it's my anxiety. And that's legit with some people. Other people, it's an excuse. Mm-hmm. And that's the, like, the, yeah, it's yeah. like, it's like the, what do you call it?
It's hard to quantify all these things.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I don't want to come off as a jerk, but
no,
people that, that exaggerate.
Yeah, like my one buddy has crippling anxiety to the point I've been there where he's having meltdowns and trying to talk him through it, and he's hyperventilating. You know, and if I have anxiety about like going to public speak or something, they're not exactly comparable.
Right, because that's nerves. That's being nervous.
Yeah, that's nervous.
It's like, more people are afraid of public speaking than they are death?
Jeez, is that right?
As Seinfeld says, that means you'd rather be in the coffin than doing the eulogy at a funeral. But like, that's something that's wild. Did we get on the subject? What am I talking about here?
I have sad news.
Your wife's bad TV shows. Texting. Okay.
Yeah.
You have any other grievances you'd like to air about your marriage right now?
I know, right?
This thing.
Diving deep.
No, Bob, what'd you have? What were you going to say? You have bad news.
I got bad news. It just broke.
What's the bad news?
Aunt Becky's pleading guilty.
Yeah.
She claimed her innocence through all this, and now all of a sudden she's pleading guilty?
She got a deal.
Taking a deal?
Yeah.
Aunt Becky's guilty of a crime. That hurts, man.
Well, I'll tell you, the crime
that
she's been guilty.
Spectacular.
Yeah, exactly. It's like whoever she mugged for the Fountain of Youth. Oh, my God. She's
Well, I hope it helps her in the clink.
Aunt Becky. In the clink. The clink, Bob. That's what people with wrinkles use to describe prison. 610-632-0975. When we come back, there's two things that we can examine with a return to sports. At the start of the pandemic, at the start of quarantine, I got to be honest, when it came to Ben Simmons' back injury, I didn't care. Because I knew whenever it was over, he was probably going to be fine. But there's a couple of silver linings we can take about a shutdown. One for basketball, one for hockey. Possibly two for hockey we'll get into. And also, coming up in the next segment, in case you missed it earlier, there was a wild story that Antoine Walker told on Boston radio the other day about Michael Jordan working out with a 16-year-old basketball player when he was coming back the second time, when he was coming back with the Wizards. And who that 16-year-old turned out to be.
Also, a little streaming event tonight I want to run by you guys, if you would tune in or not.
Okay.
I think Bob would, maybe Mark wouldn't.
All right.
That's my guess. All right.
In case you lost count because of your own ADD, that was 17 teasers before one commercial.
Hey, we only got 2 seconds left.
Exactly. We gotta get it as soon as possible. Time of the Fanatic, 923.
Serenity now! BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.